Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hi, everyone. This is Lindsay, one of the hosts of Yield Crime. Just wanted to give you a heads up that since you are listening to an earlier episode of Yield Crime, you may notice that the audio quality isn't the best. It does get better, I promise. If you are willing to stick with it, great. If you'd rather start with better quality audio, I would suggest skipping ahead to episode 19 when we purchased newer, better audio equipment. And on that note, thank you for listening and on with the show.
Obsessed with UFOs and extraterrestrials?
Convinced there's a chupacabra in your backyard?
Is your doppelganger ruining your life?
Do you love all things haunting related?
If you answered yes to any,
or none of these,
then these are the mostly sensical, slightly drunken ramblings for you? Question mark? I'm Emily.
And I'm Joel. And we're the hosts of Drink Drunk Dead. Join us,
our two cats, Emma and Otto, and our house ghost,
every week as we have a few drinks, discuss all things paranormal,
and raise a toast to our ghosts.
And welcome to Ye Olde Crime, where we discuss the funny, strange, and obscure crimes of yesteryear. I'm your host, Lindsay Valenti, and with me is my sister and co-host, Maddie Stengel.
Hello.
We also have a special guest this week, Emily from the Drink Drunk Dead podcast.
Hi.
Hello.
So good to have you here.
I'm super excited.
So this week, so Emily obviously knows the topic because she wrote her own story. But we are talking about cults.
I haven't gotten to cover any on my show yet, so this is kind of fun.
Oh, I'm ready.
So do we want to go old school first, or do we want to go let our guest go first?
I think we should let the guest go first, don't you?
Yes, ladies first.
I mean, we're pretty boring. So.
All right. So I got a fun fact for you today.
Awesome.
The first ever homicide, as far as we know, occurred about 430,000 years ago to a pre-modern human. So those are the not Homo sapiens.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So you think like Neanderthals and some of the other.
Mm-hmm.
Scientists found skull fragments in what's known as the Pit of Bones in northern Spain. Sounds like a great place to vacation.
I know. Let's go see the pit in Spain, honey.
I wonder what the ratings were.
On Yelp.
Not great.
The old Yelp.
It's dark and there's a lot of dead people here. They pieced together the fragments of the skull. And when they did it, they found that it looked like it was fractured twice with a blunt instrument. So they believe this was likely a wooden spear or an axe. And that is the first ever homicide.
Wow.
We went old for you.
I wonder what they did to deserve it.
Right. I was just going to say, I wonder what they like said or did.
Or if it was like a, oops, well, since you're down.
I tripped and my axe just fell on them twice. I don't know what happened. It's crazy.
Accidental axings happen all the time.
They happen all the time.
Hear about them in the news every day.
Yeah.
At least they were already in the pit. So, you know, you didn't have to move
anything.
It
does make it easy. Yeah.
Yeah. You just like,
you're already down there.
Just leave them? Like maybe like push them off and roll them off to the side?
Do you think they just walk them up to the edge of the pit and they're like, you know, I haven't liked your attitude this week. Gunk. Gone.
They're like, hey, can you see how and count how many bodies are in the pit?
Oh, sure.
They're just like, hey, do you want to see this really deep hole? Sure.
Every man ever is, yes. What is down there?
Why don't you try peeing on it? I'm going to stand behind you. And I'm going to hit you on the back of the head.
Works every time.
Mm-hmm. If they can pee on it, they will.
Yeah. This is true.
I have two boys and it's such a thing.
Oh, I can only imagine with boys. Yeah, I'm sure it's... Oh,
God. The number of times that they get mad at each other for crossing streams in the bathroom. Like, if Ghostbusters taught you anything, it's never cross the streams.
Don't do it.
Just doesn't end well. So I went with the Heaven's Gate cult at your recommendation. Yes. I actually looked through. There are loads of paranormal related cults. Mm-hmm. Some of them were really dark. And then this one's just, it's so quirky and weird that it's just, I couldn't resist doing it.
Yeah.
So my sources were Mysterious Universe, Encyclopedia Britannica, History.com, and Wikipedia, because who does not access Wikipedia? If you say that you're not using Wikipedia, you're full of crap.
Mm-hmm. You were lying. You were lying, my friend.
It's absolute lie. The first place you looked was Wikipedia. Do you guys know anything about this? Do you remember it?
I remember it.
I remember it on the news too.
Yeah, I remember seeing the comet and then hearing about it later and just being like, what? Like, so confused. Because, of course, I was like, what, like 14 or something at the time? Like, I wasn't that old. So, do you remember it, Maddie?
I don't. I don't remember it, but I, Stitcher, I think, did like a mini series on it. They had a podcast miniseries on Heaven's Gate and they interviewed like ex members and all this stuff. I used to listen to it when I was working at the hospital, I think, which wasn't good because it's already kind of creepy.
Yeah. And kind of sad
stuff. And I was like, I live alone.
This was a super smart idea on my part.
Well, I feel like that miniseries is probably going to be a little more detailed than my 2-page paper here.
Absolutely. And that's totally fine. Like, they did the crazy stuff. Like, I will never.
No.
We'll never do that one.
No. No.
There's a certain level of dedication that I just don't have.
That goes into, like, journalism territory. Yeah. And although we come from a journalist background, we don't partake.
No. No.
Well, then let me weave you my slightly above mediocre tale.
I'm ready.
All right. I'm going to be glancing over here because I have one screen. I'm not fancy like you, Lindsay.
I know. I'm sorry.
So Marshall Applewhite, who's also known as Doe. He was known by a whole bunch of names, but Marshall Applewhite was his given name. He used to teach music, and he was the chair of the music department at the University of St. Thomas in Houston until 1970, when he left the school. And there were some reports that he'd been caught in a dalliance with a male student, but other reports said that he was just dealing with a nervous breakdown related to a near-death experience. And his father's passing. I know his dad had recently passed and that was pretty hard. But either way, he was done at the university. And apparently that's a big moment because every page was like, you need to know he was no longer with the university. You know what? Now that I'm thinking about it, I think the university really wanted everybody to know that.
100%. They're probably like, he was done. He was done in 1970.
He was gone. He was not a part of this anymore.
We have nothing to do with what happened after. That was not us.
That's 1,000% what that is. Like all of their marketing people just every single Google search.
That's called crisis marketing.
You know, at some point, some journalist went, well, I heard he taught at your school. And they were like, no, he was done.
He wasn't even that good.
He just had to use the recorders all the time.
Hot cross buns on the recorders all day long in college.
That's how he wooed the young man.
Mm-hmm. The way he played that recorder.
His hot cross buns.
Oh, see, I thought it was his talents blowing on that big old woodwind instrument. Oh. So in 1972, after surviving a heart attack and a for sure near-death experience, he meets Nurse Bonnie Nettles. She's a big, important person.
Have you noticed that it is a nurse? It's always a nurse that's like a serial killer or like just a really terrible person that like triggered a serial killer, or like neglected her kid who got killed by a serial
There's a whole series called Nurses That Kill.
Yep.
Because it's such a thing. Mm-hmm. They don't kill any. Well,
think it's not a thing.
They're not actively killing anybody.
Right.
They're passively or passive aggressively leading people to their dooms. So he meets Bonnie. And supposedly they really hit it off. Marshall told her that he believed that they'd met in a past life. But Bonnie was, you know, have you ever met a story topper?
Yes.
Yep.
Bonnie was a story topper. She was like, no, it wasn't a past life. I've been told by extraterrestrials that you and I are on some kind of divine mission and we're going to save everybody.
Oh my God.
And that's, he was like, are you fucking serious? He was so about it.
Like, what?
My dad died. Now I'm going to save the world.
My dad died. I almost died. And then there are extraterrestrials that are just telling me that I'm this God. This is great shit.
It's all coming together.
Things are coming up, Milhouse.
I want to know why the extraterrestrials tell you that you're on a divine mission. Like, how did those two meet?
Yeah. What's their definition of divine?
Are they on like some secret mission from God? Are they actually angels that look like aliens? What's going on here? So their relationship really bloomed after this. It took off, right?
Mm-hmm.
They did a whole bunch of research on philosophy, theology, extraterrestrials. At one point, they even opened up a Christian bookshop. I didn't put a whole lot of details in here. I just know that they decided that they were so into aliens and God that they had to find a bookshop that would meld the two. And so they did it themselves.
And it's a divine mission. I wonder, did it say what it was called?
Yes, and I don't remember. I didn't take down notes on the bookshop because it was kind of a blip on most of the pages. It was just, hey, they own this bookshop.
It's like an asterisk or something.
Mm-hmm.
Scientology's step cousin, maybe?
It seriously sounds like it.
It's like close, but like there's no
one Hubbard and Sons.
Yet.
He worked, he got kicked out or left because he did bad things, naughty, naughty.
Mm-hmm.
And then he met Bonnie and they think there's something special. So they are doing all this research, especially with their bookstore, that leads them to believe that they are prophets of, or like these divine messengers.
Mm-hmm.
And they became convinced that they were the two that are mentioned in the book of Revelation. Do you guys know who the two are?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't know who they are. I had to look it up. So for those of you who are like me that don't know who the two are or aren't that familiar with the Bible, which I think is probably like 90% of the U.S. these days.
Seriously. Yeah.
They are the two witnesses. They're two of God's prophets who were seen by a vision of John Patmos. Never heard of him. But they're supposed to be these really incredibly powerful beings that are kind of almost like gods in their own right. And importantly, in the Bible, the two are resurrected by God after their deaths at the hands of the beast.
Oh, yeah.
And then they ascend to heaven on a cloud. So those are some important things that carry over into the beliefs of Marshall and Bonnie as they go down their crazy whirlwind of a cult road.
Mm-hmm.
Marshall and Bonnie decided that the cloud was actually a spaceship because it's, you know, it's a logical leap, and that God was an alien being. And that's why those extraterrestrials said, you're on a divine mission. Mission.
There you go.
Also mission. A logical leap.
Yes.
Right.
So taking it even further, Mysterious Universe says that they believed the extraterrestrials would one day come down to Earth to harvest humans. And the only way to avoid this fate was to ascend to heaven, which they called the next level, and become immortal, perfect beings.
So you need to level up, basically.
Yeah, they do. They need to level up.
It sounds like a game of Mario Kart.
Mm-hmm.
Especially with, like, I'm imagining the little toady guy in the cloud. Like, when you die, he just, like, mm-hmm. scoops you up.
The Lakitu. I can't remember what they're called, but yeah. I play a lot of Mario Kart.
They're like
it. He's got the little fishing hook. Me.
I don't think these two were inspired by Mario Kart, but maybe Mario Kart was inspired by them.
Maybe.
Just saying.
You never know.
Imagery is similar.
I mean, it's got glasses. Maybe one of them has glasses. I don't know.
Bonnie had glasses.
I saw pictures of him. I was not digging that deeply into Bonnie. She's there. She's important, but it really is more Marshall's.
Mm-hmm.
This is his car. He's steering.
Yeah.
She helps a lot, but
he's like the silent partner.
Yeah, she definitely was an important player in the cult for a long, long time, but the end of the cult occurred without her there, and that's so he's the most important player to focus on.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
So they've decided that they're really special.
Mm-hmm.
Don't we all? But like any good cult leader, they're working really hard to try and convince other people of their truth. But unsurprisingly, no one was really into it for quite a while. They're like, you too. Okay. Yep. Come knocking on my door. Thank you. No, thank you.
Right.
So they met in 1972. It wasn't until 1975 that they started to get any followers.
That's a rough 3-year patch.
Yeah.
Especially when you think you're on a mission and nobody's listening to you.
Woof.
I mean, what's your line to win people over with that? Hi, I'm ordained by God. I will save your soul from the human harvest of the aliens.
Would you like to come see my spaceship? That should have been their opening line.
Sure. How do you get there? Oh, you got to kill yourself. But, you know, it's short trip.
But it's fun.
You're leveling up.
So in 1975, they managed to get 20 people from California and Oregon. And everybody had to abandon their families. They abandoned everything. And they moved out to Colorado. The new followers, they had to leave like your friends, your family, all of your stuff behind because they're basically starting fresh. And Marshall and Bonnie were prepping them for this transition to their new life among the extraterrestrials.
I think if I remember right too, one of the things that they did was, yeah, they had to get rid of their possessions, but they also like sold. They would have people
probably
sell things and give them the money, or they would like have people give them their money. Like that's how they kept going, was new members and their like things, like pawning off stuff.
Probably for a while because they were very nomadic. Yeah. I know come the late 80s and early 90s, they actually did a lot of computer work.
Mm-hmm.
They were hired out for a lot of web design and not even web design, but management, data management. So they actually, they had their fingers in everybody else's computers back in the day. That sounds a little dirty.
It does. Yet they had such a beautiful website before they left.
It still exists.
Mm-hmm.
There might still be some of them out there running it.
Yeah.
So the new followers were banned from smoking. They couldn't use drugs. They couldn't have sex. They lost all kinds of self-identification because they all had to wear like the same sack-like clothes, and they were all given the same haircuts. They were given new names that were supposed to be biblical, but they were really weird. I couldn't even say them, so I didn't write them down because they were so weird. It was just a whole bunch of consonants and then a vowel and then a whole bunch of consonants was the name for each person. The idea is that there's no sex or gender in heaven, so they needed to lose their attachment to those kinds of designations on earth. I mean, I guess it makes every day really easy. It's like being a nun. You get up, you put on the habit, you don't have to look nice.
Mm-hmm. Who's going to judge you when y'all look the same?
Right.
I feel like we kind of do that now anyway. After the quarantine, it's like, forget the makeup. I'm not putting any effort into anything anymore.
Oh my God.
In 1976, they took their followers to Medicine Bow National Forest. Oh, I'm so dumb. I'm like, I can't remember where that's at. I literally wrote it down. It's in Southeast Wisconsin. Sitting here really racking my brain. So they go there to meet the UFO that's supposed to be dropping by.
Sweet.
Mm-hmm. Of course it's in Wisconsin. Jesus.
Of course it is.
Oh my God.
But it didn't occur, though. The ascension didn't occur. The whole thing ends up getting canceled by Marshall and Bonnie, and then they changed tactics a bit. So they ended up splitting into these smaller groups called star clusters, and they began to lead the group on a nomadic lifestyle moving around the country. So after that, the group's numbers waxed and waned. Not surprisingly, when you're living a nomadic lifestyle, people are not going to put up with it for very long.
Especially with all the rules.
Yeah, they were hardcore with the rules. At least it wasn't like some of the other creepy ones where the male leader was a little too friendly with everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It didn't seem like that was the case with this at all.
No.
Yeah.
No, there was no touching.
No, they were really anti-sex. For everybody, including the leaders.
No body squares.
Yep. Didn't they all have like assigned tasks and everything too? Like they were really
people were rigorous. Like security, people were like cooks and cleaners and
yeah, like they all had their assigned duties.
Messengers.
I wonder what would be the worst job in a cult. I bet they have some weird ass diet, so I would not want to be on bathroom duty.
Yeah.
Who wants to be on bathroom duty anyway?
No.
Right?
The bathroom's full of duty. The group's membership, it waxed and waned. The number, it did at its peak, it had like 200 members. So it did grow quite a bit.
Yeah. That's a lot of people.
There was a weird cult out in Washington that had thousands of people out there. It was huge.
Oh, it's the one in that documentary series you watched.
Uh-huh. Wild Country.
Wild Country, yeah. Mm-hmm. I can't remember what they were called.
They were kooky.
They were. They all wore maroon.
So, like I mentioned before, the conditions of living in the group are really, really strict. They're not supposed to have friends within the group. Like, they really needed to be isolated because Marshall was paranoid as fuck that someone was going to try to overthrow him or assassinate him. Can I curse on your show?
Yes, you curse on my show.
Yeah, I'm sure you curse. I'm positive I heard you curse.
Yep.
Yeah. We definitely have.
Heavens to Betsy, no. I have never cursed on this show.
I declare.
That gives me the vapors.
He's paranoid AF. And it probably made it harder for people to maintain interest in the group for long. So that's probably a big part of why the membership was like rolling with the homies. In 1985, Bonnie died. And Marshall became really seriously depressed. He told his followers that her energy was too much to remain on Earth, so she traveled to the next level ahead of them. And then he kind of fucking snapped. He became super jealous that she descended before him.
And she died.
I was like, that bitch, she left me here.
If I remember right, too, she died like a horrible death. She had like eye cancer or something.
Like, yeah, didn't she like lose an eye?
Yeah, she had eye cancer, but I couldn't tell whether her death was related to the cancer. I just know that she had eye cancer like 2 years before her death, and she had a surgery on it that was pretty hard on her.
I just remember that, and then he was mad, and it was like, damn. Yep. Like,
she lost an eye. This
probably sucks.
God.
Well, what I think is really interesting is you would assume a male and a female having that kind of connection, that there's some kind of sexual aspect, at least in their relationship. There was nothing.
Nope.
They literally were just partners that really strongly believed in this. They were best buddies, like Turk and JD kind of best buddies. So Bonnie dies and he gets really jealous. And then he starts referring to her using male pronouns and starts calling her father. I don't know what the importance of this is overall, but it would suggest to me that he almost sets her above himself.
It kind of paints him as if like he's more of a Jesus figure.
Okay, I could see that.
Right? If he like refers to her as father, I would take that as he like, yeah, considers her above him, which would make him, if he's still the Messiah, more of like a Jesus.
That's a really good way of looking at it. I had not thought of it that way. I definitely pictured him viewing her as somebody that was the founder of this group, and she's the reason we all came together, and she helped me find my true identity, so she's the father. But I like your interpretation.
I don't know. I kind of see it as he called her father because of like the traumatic loss of his dad's death too.
Oh yeah.
Kind of circled back.
Maybe.
This dude has daddy issues.
Seriously.
He just has death issues. Like, just daddy can't daddy death issues. Just can't process people dying. Which, mm-hmm. I mean, not everybody can process death properly. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's no proper way to deal with death, but some people don't process it well at all. So they just start their own cults.
Yep.
You think there's like a how-to guide online somewhere for people going through hard times? If you're going through some truly hard times and you need some friends, how to start a cult.
Yep.
This is about the time that he changes his mind on how the ascension's going to occur. Because they originally believed that your whole body's going to go up with you. You're going to take your body.
Yep.
But because she died and her physical body obviously stayed on Earth, that kind of put a hole in that theory.
Yep.
Like, well, shit, now I got to rethink this. So instead, now the bodies are just kind of like shells for the souls. So I guess when they die and they ascend, they get brand spanking new bodies.
Yep.
Wouldn't that be nice?
That'd be great.
How do I order one of those?
How do I replace my meat sack? Because mine's broken.
Mm-hmm. It's part of getting old. By the early 1990s, the group had really, really, really shrunk. They were down to as few as 26 members. So they were pretty small, down from their 200. Marshall had really started to freak out. And this is when he gave the group the amazing new name of Total Overcomers Anonymous. I don't know why they didn't keep it, because that's a great name. Total Overcomers Anonymous.
Overcoming anything.
Yes, we're overcoming the harvest. But it gets funny, though. So this happened in 1993, but what's really, really funny about it is at this time, they're broadcasting a whole bunch of videos and they're mailing out info about their group.
Yep.
To all these new age organizations. They even spent $30,000 on a full page ad in USA Today. So they're definitely not embracing the anonymity side of their name. You might want to rethink that one.
Yep. USA Today. Wow.
Right.
I feel like one of them was somebody suggested to him, how about we call it this? And he goes, yes, but we need to let everybody know that we changed our name. Mass mailings, get on it.
Mm-hmm. Guerrilla marketing.
Mm-hmm.
In the mail.
So the ad that they placed in the USA Today, it warned of an impending judgment day. And seeing it, multiple members who'd previously defected freaked out and rejoined the group. Which I think is pretty freaking funny.
That's so sad.
You see it in USA Today.
This is like, oh man.
You said this to me in person, but I take it way more seriously when I see it in USA Today.
Because now it's in print.
Yep. So. It is. It's hard to deny when it's in print.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
That's why you got to believe everything that's on the internet. It's print right there, man.
Mm-hmm.
So Marshall kept posting his beliefs everywhere. Like he needed to get everybody, but he got really butthurt when people criticized him and his group and their beliefs.
Could you imagine if he was alive when Twitter existed?
That would have been so good.
Wouldn't it have been incredible? God.
Oh my God. I guarantee Anonymous would have hopped on that right away and been like, oh, you want to call yourself Anonymous here? Rip back that veil.
Right.
Yep.
So he was really upset about people making fun of the name, especially. And this is when he decides to change the name yet again to Heaven's Gate, which is the one obviously we all know it by. I think he should have just stuck with it. You can't let the haters get you down, man. The haters gonna hate.
Yep.
In 1995, he tried and failed to create a compound in New Mexico. And I guess what he did was he went there and he basically had this just a box of a building, but didn't have any food or any, there's like no electricity, and he goes, just make it work. Just like, the fuck, dude. So the group ends up relocating to San Diego, at which point he and several members decided that they would voluntarily undergo surgical castration because they wanted to suppress all sexual desire.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But nobody in the US is going to do anything like that. So they had to go to Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
And the big reason that they decided that they were going to do this is because they thought that if they didn't, they wouldn't make it to the next level. They're not going to ascend to the next level. No boss level for these guys.
Mm-mm. So, like, was the thought that you have to be a eunuch in the next level?
Kind of.
Like, you're genderless in the next level?
Yeah, you're genderless, essentially. Except superior.
Yeah. Genderless, and you don't have sexual desire. So they had to overcome that sexual desire. But they couldn't do it themselves because, you know, everybody's a horny motherfucker.
Yep.
Who isn't?
Yep.
Let's be real. And so the only way that they could make that happen was to go and do the castration, which, you know what? That's dedication, though. I'll give it to them.
I think if I remember right, too, like they tried to do it themselves.
That's right.
And failed.
I did not read that.
They went
That's awful.
Yeah. Like, I think one of the members ended up like dying because like they went to a hotel room or something to do mm-hmm. it, because why wouldn't you just do it at a hotel room? And
they have ice machines. It's fine.
Make the maids clean that shit up, man.
Yeah. And it didn't work. And they had to go to the hospital and the guy died.
Yep.
And they're like, well, obviously we're not surgeons, so maybe we should go somewhere else.
Yep.
One and done, I always say.
Whoops.
Vets can do it. Why can't we?
In 1995, do you guys remember Hale-Bopp, the comet? You do. I know you said you did, Lindsay. That's when it was first discovered. It's 1995. I remember that being big news.
Oh, yeah.
Because it was supposed to be in the sky for several months. Like, it was just this slow-moving sucker that you could see for ages.
Mm-hmm.
Upon hearing about it, the group became convinced that there's a UFO behind the comet and that Bonnie is on the ship. And this is where the end truly begins.
Bum, bum, bum.
Very serious stuff here. By the fall of 1996, the group had rented the infamous mansion in Rancho Santa Fe, California. Because I can't say it. If I try to say it fast, I have to slow it down. This is where they really began to kind of prepare for their transition. Marshall told his followers that Bonnie's waiting for them on the ship, and that they're going to get transported to some paradise away from Earth. But he warned them that the government is trying to cover up the existence of this UFO and trying to intervene and kind of prevent them from making this next level, because government obviously doesn't want us to ever be happy. That's not, if we're happy, it's too boring for them.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's really not that crazy of a thing to think that there might have been a UFO that the government's covering up, because they've come out this year and said several UFO sightings.
Yeah.
They actually were investigating. So it's mm-hmm. not that crazy of a notion.
Yeah.
Except to think that it's following directly behind this and that Bonnie's chilling out. That's when you get into the crazy part.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's where it breaks.
And is it like new body Bonnie, or is it like one-eyed Bonnie? Like, I don't understand.
Pirate Bonnie.
Well, no, I mean, you level up, right?
She got that eye back.
Theoretically.
Maybe she got two. She might have three eyes now.
Now she's a baby. Cute little baby on a comet.
Marshall gets up there and he's like, what? Disappointed.
Your eye grew back.
I'd be jealous too if somebody else became a baby on a spaceship on a comet.
Yeah, that's fair.
That sounds awesome.
That's fair.
So in March 1997, the 39 remaining members of the group, they isolated themselves from the rest of the world, and that's when they began recording their farewells, which I guess I didn't listen to any of them because I just couldn't bring myself to watch.
It's creepy. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's really creepy.
They're really happy.
Yeah, that's what it says, is they're really happy and they're just praising their fearless leader. And like this, they're just so excited for this next step. And knowing what happens, I could not bring myself to watch that, because that has to be hard for families.
Yeah.
And then on March 22nd, the deaths began. So it was really shortly after this. They occurred over a 3-day period, and I did not remember this from when I was a kid. Mm-mm. But they did it over 3 days. They had like three groups, I think 15, 15, and 9 was how it's broke up, broken up. So every member donned the black Nike sneakers, which we all remember from those pictures.
Yep.
And they put on these black uniforms that had these patches on them. And I have to admit, I laughed when I saw the fucking patch. Heaven's Gate away team.
Yep. Yep. And they were like tracksuits too, weren't they?
Something like
that. Yep.
That cracked me up. I was like, at least they have a sense of humor going into it. The Heaven's Gate away team. This is how we're going out.
It's a Star Trek reference, isn't it?
Yeah, I think they were like heavily influenced by Star Trek.
Yep.
Because they had their like away teams. Yeah.
Yep.
Well, then shouldn't they have been dressed in red?
They should have then.
Considering what was about to happen?
They should have been red shirts.
So the way that they did it is they ingested these cocktails of phenobarbital and vodka. Although the reports were different. Some said that the phenobarbital was mixed in with like pudding and applesauce and then they chased it down with vodka. Other places seem to suggest that that the phenobarbital and the vodka were mixed together. Either way, it was lethal. And then they went and they laid down on their beds and they placed bags over their heads.
There were two people assigned to do that every time.
Place the bags.
Mm-hmm.
Those were the last ones to go.
Yep. And like move their bodies and stuff too. Like make sure that they were all set up.
Yeah, they cared for the dead for 3 days. I mean, they ended up, they put bags next to the bodies that contained their IDs. And some of them even had like a few dollars in them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why. I could not find anywhere that explained what the thought behind the few dollars was. If you think that you're ascending.
Found them in like their pant pockets. You know how sometimes you do that? You find money?
Maybe.
Or I don't know if you read this, but like the day before they started like their suicide mission, they had a giant dinner at Marie Callender's.
That's funny. No, I didn't read that. I read that they had some like celebratory dinner.
That was like their last meal at Marie Callender's. And they all had the same exact thing.
It was a chicken pot pie.
Yeah, I think so. I think it was honestly like a chicken pot pie. And like,
why would you go out on that? Even death row inmates don't go out on chicken pot pie.
I know, but that's what they chose. Maybe the money was like the change from that dinner.
Or maybe they just forgot the tip.
There's a note. Leave this for the waitress at Marie Callender's.
Here's a tip. Go up in space and tomorrow.
See, I was just thinking that maybe they had that extra cash. Like maybe there's a rest stop on the way up to Ascension. You got to stop. Everybody has to have money for snacks.
Yeah. They all ordered the exact same thing, a waiter recalled to the paper. It was set up before they came in. They all had iced teas to drink, dinner salads beforehand with tomato vinegar dressing, turkey pot pie for the entree, cheesecake with blueberries on top for dessert.
That had to have been the weirdest fucking order to receive. You're like, what? Why?
Iced
for
tea,
adults.
A dinner salad, a turkey pot pie, and blueberry cheesecake.
It's very specific.
Mm-hmm. Super specific.
You better not have your own taste in anything because you are screwed if you don't like tomatoes
or a dairy allergy.
Well, you're gonna die the next day anyway, so it's fine.
You feel like dying before you die.
Yeah, but you know what happens after death. If you have a dairy allergy, that's gonna be really bad for the people that stay behind.
Those poor two people.
Gross.
3 whole days, man.
They started out in black clothes, but by the time the cops got there, they were all brown.
Gross. Right? Maybe that's why they chose black.
Hey, they did eventually get red for the Star Trek reference.
The Heaven's Gate away team patch was red. There you go.
I know.
Cute.
The ones that hadn't ascended to the next level at the beginning, they spent those days sending out the farewells that everybody had recorded and they tended the bodies. So that was, you know, like Maddie was saying, they'd move them around and they'd make sure everything, like they looked really nice and peaceful. Honestly, when I remember those pictures and I looked at them again, They looked like a decent way to go, not gonna lie.
Right, yeah.
Don't do it, but it looked like a nice way to go. Not advocating for this route.
No.
Marshall was a member of the last four tonight. So he had three people that assisted him. So I think that they got him kind of like propped up. He was pretty old at this time and he was convinced that he was dying of cancer, which he wasn't.
He probably thought he had cancer like Bonnie.
Yeah.
Because he wanted to be a baby.
He wanted to emulate her.
So he was a hardcore hypochondriac. He had some paranoia issues. He always thought he was sick with something and he was fine. Mm-hmm. But so he was assisted by those three people and then they took their own lives. What's really creepy is that he's found it in this seated position in the bed of the master bedroom. I can just imagine the first person walking through the door and they're like, scared the crap out of me. So this was the largest mass suicide to occur since Jonestown. But that claimed over 900 lives. So this doesn't even compare.
No.
This, I think it might still be the largest mass suicide on U.S. soil. I'm not positive, though. Don't quote me on that.
I think you're right. I do think you're right.
I can't. I feel like that if there had been something bigger, it would have made the news and I would remember it.
Yeah.
There was an anonymous tip that led to the discovery of the bodies by the police on March 26th of 1997. And I imagine that it was probably actually either some people who had left the group recently that knew what was going to happen, or it was those last few people that were sticking around that called in the anonymous tip before they took their lives. Mm-hmm. But they would have to time that really well, because I'm sure that the cops would want to get there fairly quickly.
Yeah, just to see if anybody else was alive.
Mm-hmm. Now, I remember this next part. Following their deaths, Marshall's final message was just widely broadcast. So everybody got to hear just what Marshall thought was going to happen.
Mm-hmm. It's terrifying.
Yeah.
He just had that like deranged, dead look on his face.
Yes, it was very weird.
He wouldn't blink.
Yeah, he didn't blink very much.
Mm-mm. Maybe when you elect for castration and in Mexico, you stop blinking. It might be a thing.
Right.
We'd have to get those other, we have to bring them into a room too, so we can just check them all out. So having this thing on the TV may have inspired more people to commit suicide, because there were deaths that actually followed this. In the days that followed, three more members that had been, they'd left the group, they also committed suicide.
Yep.
And then there's also a 58-year-old man who doesn't seem to have any kind of connection with the group from what I could find. And he committed what they called a copycat suicide, because he leaves behind this note that reads, "I'm going to the spaceship with Hale Bopp to be one of those who have gone before me."
Hmm. Yeah, I don't know what they're called. They sound pretty great. I like turkey pot pies. Let's do this.
I wonder if he did the same thing. He had Marie calendars before. He was just like, this is very good.
Only at home.
He's made it in the microwave.
Yeah. But you can't get a good blueberry cheesecake anywhere. If he doesn't have a Marie calendars close by, he's disappointed.
Yeah.
That's true.
Oh. So, being me and being a weirdo.
I'm interested.
You have me.
So, you would think, everybody's going to think that these guys are total nutter butters, right? Mm-hmm. Extraterrestrials, there is no freaking UFO. You don't have a mission from God, right? So I looked to see whether there had been any UFO sightings in the U.S. in March of that year.
Oh.
There were thousands of people that saw the infamous Phoenix Lights in March of that year.
Whoa.
It was shortly before. It was March 13th. So they were seen over Arizona, Nevada, and Sonora, Mexico. And like I said, seen by thousands of people. There are loads of accounts of these things, including the governor of Arizona.
Wow.
So what people saw that night was they saw the two distinct light anomalies, depending on where and when they saw them. There was one that was a triangular formation of lights, and it was moving. And then there's like this stationary line of lights that's just kind of like this.
Mm.
Creepy. It's creepy.
Yeah. I thought it was really interesting that there were just such a big UFO sighting. One of the most famous UFO sightings in America happened just days before mm-hmm. these guys said that they were going to go meet the spaceship. And they had already had this plan. So it's not like seeing those lights then tipped them over the edge. Mm-hmm. They already had made this decision because they learned about Hale Bopp in 1995, which was a year before these UFO sightings.
It's crazy.
That's very interesting.
The government has since said that the group of lights, at least one of them, was flares. But it doesn't make sense because they're stationary. They're just chilling up there.
Yeah.
And then you have that set that's a triangle that's moving. I mean, I could see maybe the line, but really getting them. Why would you even bother doing that?
Yeah.
What's the purpose of, I get sending up one flare, but why do you set up a line of flares? What is the purpose of it?
Yeah. Why would you do that?
Unless you're signaling to something way, way higher in the atmosphere.
Yeah. But even still, why flares?
Just send up the bat signal.
Yeah.
So did they actually ascend? I don't know. We're never going to know.
No.
But I know I don't want to join them anytime soon. That's just my personal take on it.
No. Fair. I don't want to be on any away team.
No.
What kind of pudding do you think they used? Because I feel like that's an important thing. They obviously had such attention to detail. It better not have been tapioca. Butterscotch?
I was going to say it's probably like sugar-free.
Because sugar's a sin.
Like sugar-free vanilla or something like that.
The fat-free fad in the 90s?
Yes.
I bet it was that.
It's like some sort possible.
Of fat-free Swiss Miss pudding mix.
Maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think they like bulk made it? Or do you think they had those little cups with the
peels? I think they had the pudding cups, because then how could you make sure that the concentration was right?
For the, yeah.
I mean, if you have a scoop.
Yeah, but if you're making a batch, like maybe one scoop is way more lethal than the other scoop.
That's true.
Boy, that guy went awfully quickly.
Right.
Yeah. We couldn't even get him on the bed.
That is the Heaven's Gate cult.
Nice. Wow. Good job.
Yeah.
Mine's going to be kind of boring.
I'm interested. Is it the first cult in the U.S.?
Yes, this is the first doomsday cult in the United States.
Ooh.
Are there non-doomsday cults? Well, yes. I guess there are satanic cults, so.
Yep. Okay, so I wrote today about Johannes Kelpius and the Hermits of the Wissahickon.
Wow.
They're hermits.
I'm so
Please
ready.
Tell me you have to say Wissahickon a whole bunch.
I do. And the best thing about my notes is it's so much German that I had to write everything out phonetically.
Because
otherwise I wouldn't be able to say it.
This is going to be gold.
So information for this was pulled from a 2011 Hidden City article by John Fedumsky, a 2015 Chestnut Hill local article by Kevin DeCiani, Philadelphia Oddities website, an article on the History Society of Pennsylvania website by David Ahern, an Atlas Obscura article, and Wikipedia, because it's always on Wikipedia.
Every time.
Mm-hmm.
I had to pick something in my home state.
I did. This is for you. This goes out to you. Wink.
There's so many woods in Pennsylvania. There's plenty of room for cults.
Yep. I'll be interested to hear if you actually know where this one is as we start going through it.
Okay.
So links to all of these articles will be included in the show notes. And as I said previously, there's a lot of German in this. I do not speak German, even though I took 2 years of it in high school. I remember zero. So if I say something wrong, I apologize. Please don't hate me, Germany.
How do you say cubby in German?
Direction cubby. Direction cubby. I'll tell you next week.
Okay.
So we're going to talk about America's first doomsday cult, which was led by German immigrant Johannes Kelpius in Pennsylvania. And we're going to go over his history, the forming of the sect, and the downfall. So Johannes was born Johann Kelp in 1667.
Dang.
Near the town of Schiesburg, Transylvania.
Wait, Schiesburg?
Schiesburg.
I wasn't sure if you said Cheeseboard or Schiesburg.
Schiesburg. It could be Cheeseboard. I don't know.
Right. I like Cheeseboard.
By Schiesburg, Transylvania. Which has since been renamed Ciasora, Romania. So, doesn't even matter. It could be Cheeseboard. I don't care. And while he was there, he attended several universities, including Tübingen, Leipzig, and the University of Altdorf, which was located near Nuremberg. And apparently, because this was a thing, his name was then Latinized to Johannes Kelpius, because that was a custom for scholars at the time.
What was it?
What?
Latinized? Is that what you said?
Latinized.
Okay. I was like, what?
You know, Vlad.
Yeah.
The Impaler.
They
Latinized
is.
His name.
Right. So, got it.
Yep. Latin.
Cool.
And he was also fluent in German, English, Latin, Hebrew, and Greek. So he was a bit of a brown noser.
Hebrew. That's unexpected.
Right? He studied under several professors who held occult leanings. And by the time he was 22, he had received his master's in theology and published several works. And while at university, he'd been drawn to Pietism, which was initially formed in reaction to the more formal Orthodox Lutheranism, but this term has some heretical and esoteric Christian ideas.
Ooh.
So Pietism is a movement within the Lutheran faith where members focus on the biblical doctrine and individual piety and living a vigorous Christian life.
A vigorous Christian life? How do you become a vigorous Christian?
Christian is definitely exhausting.
Yeah.
So it originated in Germany in the late 17th century and was built on the premise that personal transformation could be made through spiritual rebirth and renewal, individual devotion, and piety. So basically, this is the principle that like Mennonites and the Amish base their religions off of. Okay. If you want something modern day to like compare pietism to.
Okay.
So.
That is pretty vigorous.
Yeah. I mean, they churn butter every day.
Right.
So Kelpius became a follower of Johann Jacob Zimmermann, who was a mathematician, astronomer, and cleric. Zimmermann led the Chapter of Perfection, a group of Protestant monks who planned to establish a religious colony in America, because Zimmermann believed that the world was going to end in March of 1694 at, quote, the edge of the wilderness.
No, it ends in March 2020 in the U.S.
Right.
Yeah. A little too early there, bro.
We never thought the apocalypse would be this slow, but here we are.
Just took a few centuries. It's fine.
Yep. A few years off.
So Zimmermann negotiated with William Penn in the province of Pennsylvania to obtain land for him and, quote, the Society of the Woman in the Wilderness. So that's what they were calling their society.
What, it was Society of Perfection before?
It was like the Chapter of Perfection, but now they're going based off of the name, the Society of the Woman of the Wilderness.
Well, if we're going to talk about perfection, women are, so.
This is true.
Makes sense.
You're not wrong.
So shortly before they left, Zimmermann died suddenly in Rotterdam, and Kelpius became the group's magister or leader. So in February of 1693, Kelpius and his 40 monks boarded the Sarah Maria Hopewell, and once they arrived and disembarked at Bohemia Landing, Maryland, on June 23rd, they made their way to Philadelphia in Germantown. They then proceeded to Wissahickon, where they established a regular program of meditation and private study near the present-day Hermitage Mansion. Do you know what that is? Where that is?
Well, I know where Hermitage, PA is. I don't know if the Hermitage Mansion is in Hermitage, PA. If this is all still near Philly, then I'm not that familiar with that area.
Okay.
If they moved west, I can tell you, sort of.
Okay. So Kelpius, his order became known as the Monks of the Ridge. They have like a million and one names, kind of like.
It's these cults. They're always changing names.
We can never decide on something and just stick with it.
You got to be hip and
like current. Prince.
Yep. The monks of the Ridge, and each year they celebrated the anniversary of their arrival to the New World on St. John's Eve, aka June 23rd.
Isn't that like the summer solstice?
Yeah, I think it is.
The longest night of the year.
Yep. And legend states that Kelpius used to meditate in the stone hut that remains to this day. He decided to lead his order into the wilderness because of the belief that God and nature are one. And they even earned some new members to their group. So Conrad Matahi and Christopher Witt. But the size of their group started to decline in numbers after the end times continued to come and go. And eventually, because it was supposed to happen in 1964, or 1694.
They were fine then.
They're in good shape.
And it was supposed to come, didn't. Supposed to come, didn't. And eventually, Kelpius was driven out of the commune in 1705, and he took refuge with a former member in Germantown until his death of tuberculosis at the age of 41 in 1708.
TB got everybody.
Yeah. And it said that Kelpius was under the delusion that he wouldn't suffer physical death, but be transferred to another plane of existence. And others have said he possessed the famed Philosopher's Stone.
Oh, so he's Harry Potter. Cool.
He is Harry Potter, which was thrown into the Wissahickon River upon his direction by his assistant, Daniel Giesler, prior to his death.
It all checks out.
So that's Johannes. Now we're going to talk about the settlement, and then I'm going to go more into like the cult itself.
Okay.
So known locally as the Hermits of Wissahickon, the sect set out to create a self-sustaining commune at the base of a secluded ravine with natural spring waters. And this site would later go by the name of Hermit's Glen, because they're all about being hermits.
Right. And glens are cute.
It's cute. Makes it sound cutesy. And over time, they erected a large building for their meetings and also constructed a monastery that perfectly aligned with the cardinal points of the compass, where they would await the arrival of the woman and her baby son, who, according to Revelations 12:16, was destined to rule the world. So I find it interesting that we both have Revelation references mm-hmm. in our cults.
Yeah.
They always go to that.
They always go to Revelations.
I mean, that is where you have Revelations.
So. How many other freaking books are in there, chapters or whatever?
Yeah, it's the settlement boasted a large meeting house, botanical garden, and orchard. Ooh. And they also studied astronomy.
I love that they had a botanical garden.
Right?
That's were they nice. Looking out for UFOs?
Well, it's interesting that you should say that.
Oh, no.
Because they had an observatory, which was included atop the tabernacle, and it is believed to be the first of its kind in America.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Wow.
They also built a school for neighborhood children. And they held public worship services and shared their medical knowledge with their neighbors, which included bloodletting because, of course, that's always fun.
Nope.
Always works. So music was also a focal point of their worship, and most of the sect members were musicians, and one of their members, that Dr. Witt that I mentioned earlier, is reported to have built the first pipe organ in America at the commune.
Dang, they were busy. Right?
Yeah.
Making all this
impressive shit.
Right. Wow. Fucking overachievers making all the other cults look bad.
Right. I know. We have an observatory and a pipe organ.
So the site of the cave where Kelpius spent the bulk of his time meditating still stands. And today he is known as the first Rosicrucian master in America. I'm going to go with it. All right. Now we're at the doomsday part of it.
What does that mean, Rosicrucian?
Just, I'm getting there. It's my next thing in my notes.
Just makes me think of Rastafarian, and I just...
Uh-huh. He's Rastafarian. They're just right. Toking it up in the woods.
Oh, man. I mean, a lot of boxes would be checked if that was the case. Things would make sense.
All the candles in the monastery are the colors of the Jamaican flag.
There you go. So the Rosicrucians, that's how I'm going to say it, which means rose and cross.
That's boring. Anticlimactic Rose Cross.
Dreams Rose Cross are a brotherhood known worldwide that claim to hold secret wisdom dating back to the ancient Egyptians. They describe themselves as a philosophical fraternal order, not necessarily a religion.
So like the Knights Templar.
Kind of, yeah.
But like cooler because they're rose cross.
Rose cross. Rose cross. Yeah,
thorns.
We're going to prick you.
I can see the stars better than you.
We like stars and thorns and shit. So the followers read scripture, sacred scripture carefully, and they supplemented their Bible study with numerology, astrology, the Hebrew Kabbalah, and the ideas of the mystic Yaakov Boume.
Oh, yeah. His stuff is really good.
He is so good.
It's riveting.
And when? This was in like the 1600s? No, 1700s now, right?
This is still in the 1600s.
Because he died 1708, right?
Yeah. So Boume was a bootmaker by trade who believed that God and nature were the same. And he thought that most people are prisoners to their, quote, lower natures, but can become free from evil with God's grace, which allows them to forsake materialism and spiritual pride.
I mean, that would be nice.
It would be nice.
But, like,
he's not an original thinker. How many others have come up with that idea?
He probably stole it from somebody else when he was making his boot.
I think he found Jesus's, like, speech. His, like, Last Supper speech and was like, this is good. I should use this at parties.
I don't need to make boots anymore.
Right?
I could become a carpenter.
Early plagiarism.
Wink. Yep.
So I don't know if you caught on this earlier, but the number 40 was sacred to this group, making it a part of everything they did. They had 40 members, a large communal cabin that measured 40 by 40.
Wait. What happens when they have a baby, though? Because you said they had a schoolhouse.
Well, they were all monks, so it was all men. But they made a schoolhouse for the like the local communities, like Germantown that was nearby.
Oh, okay. So they didn't just like kidnap children or something like that. I was like, oh, no, this just got dark.
So they had a large communal cabin that measured 40 by 40. And even their burial ground in Germantown was 40 by 40. So their late founder, Zimmerman, the one that died right before they got on the boat, he made these elaborate astrological calculations to predict the second coming, which was said to be the year 1694. And when it came and went, Kelpius believed the end to be the year 1700.
He just rounded
it up.
Incorrectly.
He's like, well, we'll just round it.
It ran down. He's just like, 1700.
We can only go up from here.
I mean, this gives me some time to think about it.
And he felt this belief to be affirmed by the surge of the Barbados plague in the summer of 1699.
That's where the Rasta came from.
There you go.
Yep.
But again, when the new century came and Jesus didn't, the society's members started to doubt that the world was, in fact, going to perish. And the group largely disbanded after Kelpius' death in 1708. And a majority of the members moved to Germantown to become doctors and lawyers.
I love how that was the next step. Well, the world isn't ending. I'm going to be a doctor or a lawyer.
Highly educated.
Yeah, these people were like super educated. They knew like astrology, numerology, like all this. So leadership fell for a time to a man named Johann Zeeling. But when he left to pursue a life of solitude, because he was like, I've been with all these 39 dudes for a super long time. I need some me time. And he outed. He was like, boom, I'm out.
I would too.
It fell to a man named Conrad Matai, who I mentioned at the top. And eventually the group began to disband further to become pastors among the settlers in the surrounding areas. Because at that point, living as a hermit had kind of lost its luster.
It's fair. People are okay, I guess.
Yep. And one of the last documented encounters with members of this cult took place in 1720 when a group of Mennonites approached them for guidance. This is the last little bit. The last surviving member, Christopher Witt, the guy that built the pipe organ, also went on to create the first oil painting in America because he's an overachiever.
Yep.
And he used Kelpius as his subject. And it currently resides in the Historical Society of Pennsylvania. And upon his death on January 30th, 1765, the whole of the Hermits of Wissahickon Library that he had amassed was passed on to none other than Benjamin Franklin.
Oh, man, of course. That creep with his little sex dungeon. Did he put it in a sex dungeon, the painting?
No, it's in the Historical Society of Pennsylvania. I already said it. Maybe.
He was got like, his stuff, and he was like, you know what? You know where this should go? A sex dungeon.
He's like, this guy never got laid in his whole life. Let's give him a ride for eternity. Yeah.
Give him something to look at.
I mean, it's a pretty creepy painting if you look at it. He's got like this, like you know the painting of Jesus, but that one woman in Spain, like really horribly redid and repainted. Yeah. His face looks kind of like that.
Oh,
like he's just sitting there and it's just like, it's got like a weird maybe smile on it.
He invented the oil painting because he couldn't really paint, so he like mirrored it. He's like, this is fine, this is working.
That's where finger paints got its start.
Well, who knows how old he was by the time he started doing it. He might have just been like, this looks great with my super old eyes.
Right. I got cataracts.
Or maybe I can't fix that.
Really didn't like him. He's like, I'm going to make this sucker ugly forever.
Right.
He's going to look super weird. So that's the story of the first doomsday cult that never really got off the ground. The Hermits of Wissahickon.
Do you ever wonder why all these doomsday cults get so disappointed that the end doesn't come? Why are you disappointed that the world isn't ending?
I know, right?
Because it doesn't seem like a lot of them, they're happy with the lives that they live in the cults.
Right.
Yeah.
So why are they so desperate for it to be done and over? They always get so mad. They're like, God dang it, you said the world was going to end today and it didn't, and I don't believe you anymore. Well, thank you for that story. That was interesting one. Yeah. I'd never heard of that before.
Yeah.
Especially my home state.
Yep. So we are going to include your podcast promo in this episode because obviously.
Right.
Would you like to talk a little bit about your podcast since you're actually here?
Sure. We get drunk and then we tell each other ghost stories. That's pretty much it.
Sounds like a perfect afternoon, evening.
It's a lot of fun.
2 p.m.
He's getting to the point where he doesn't get spooked by this stuff anymore. It's like, come on, quit being boring. I want to scare the tar out of you. That's the whole goal. The whole reason I started this was to scare him.
Yep.
Yeah.
We usually try to cover stories that nobody's heard of before, but I felt like you kind of need some of those big name ones every once in a while to just kind of spice it up. People like to hear what they're familiar with too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So yeah, we encourage you to give them a listen and we will include a link to their podcast in the show notes.
If you don't listen, you're not our friends anymore.
All right. So we usually at this point include something good. Mm-hmm. Would you like to go first, Emily, with something good?
Well, we hit almost 1,000 downloads for July, which is really exciting.
That's super cool.
That was exciting.
Yeah.
It took us 5 months to get 500. And then in like a 2 month span, we got another, 1,500 almost?
That's so cool. Yeah.
That's really cool.
That's awesome.
So that was happy.
Mm-hmm.
My trees are not dead for my research. That's a big thing.
There you
Congratulations.
Go.
Congratulations.
I know. Everybody's so excited by my trees being alive.
Well, like how many did you have to repot?
350 in one day.
Madison's wow. Face right now. She's just like,
and they didn't die?
No, they were dying before. They're my thesis project for my master's.
Mm-hmm.
And with everything being shut down, I couldn't get out there to take care of them. We couldn't order supplies and they just got really sick. So we repotted them and they're looking really good.
That's awesome.
Take that, COVID.
Yeah, fuck you, man.
You're like the Lorax. You speak for the trees.
Yeah, I do. And the trees were like, ouch.
Help me, Emily. It hurts.
It sucks.
Everything hurts. That's good. How about you, Maddie?
Something good.
Besides that your birthday is next week.
So... My good thing is, like, I get gifts next week? I don't know.
Question mark?
Yeah, let's go with that.
Free stuff is good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What about you, Lindsay?
I finally signed up for a haircut and a color.
Hey.
Then I get my hair cut, do like a fun little like summery layered bob thingy, and I'm going lavender.
Yeah.
Ooh, that'll be fun.
Yeah.
Okay.
I was like, let's do it. I don't have to be in the office. No one has to see me.
Mm-mm. Nope.
I'm going to be working from home through the end of the year for sure. So.
Yep.
Lavender will be a fun color. You going to put any fun like streaks of anything really bright in there? Or?
I don't know. I'll have to ask her what she recommends. So yeah, I'm excited to do that in a couple weeks. I think it's before my birthday.
Nice. It's
the day before my birthday.
Ooh, happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday to me.
Are you going to have birthday party decorations to match your new do?
I should.
You could.
I should probably plan a party, shouldn't I?
No, it's hard to think about because, like, social distancing. We've done it for so long now that it's like, oh, no, people want to see me? Like, are you sure? Because what if I'm gross?
Well, my birthday's on a Friday this year.
Yeah.
And I actually did take it off of work. I was like,
heck yeah, you did.
It's my birthday.
Good for you.
I'm going to do something fun. You can find us online at yeoldcrimepodcast.com and follow us on social media at yeoldcrimepod on Twitter and yeoldcrimepodcast on Instagram. You can also email us at yeoldcrimepodcast@gmail.com. We'd love to hear what you think about the show. Only if you have nice things to say.
We're sensitive. We're delicate flowers. Be nice.
We are. We're from the Midwest. We're very sensitive. And any stories you'd like to share, like we mentioned last week, it can be anything and everything. We want all of the stories.
And have you guys ever had a haunting?
Oh, yes.
Oh, for sure. Yep.
We could have a whole episode about it.
Yep.
We should come talk to you next time and just tell you a bunch of ghost stories.
That's true. There's one about like a dead bride in Lindsay's room.
Yep.
I'm telling you.
That was gross.
We need to share these.
Yes. If you're enjoying the podcast so far, please consider giving us a 5-star rating or review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen, as it helps us out. And if you really like us, you can also support us at Ye Olde Crime Podcast on Patreon, like Emily is, because she's our first one and she needs more friends over at Patreon. Do it.
Hashtag trampoline 2K2021. Project Trampoline.
And we also have merch.
We do.
We have merch.
It's pretty cool, too.
I bought some of it. I got the BP t-shirt. I can't wait for it to come in.
I know. I am so excited. What? That's awesome.
I know.
I'm so excited.
Go get some beef tea t-shirts.
Yeah.
I made some beef tea t-shirts, and we will have a link to our store in the show notes. Mm-hmm. And it is also on our social medias. So you need to look at the beef t-shirt, if nothing else.
Yeah, just look at it, you know?
Just look at it. And if you're like, I want that, then do yourself a favor and buy it.
Yeah, just cry and yell at somebody until they get it for you.
I want this.
That's how you get things.
Mm-hmm.
Make a Patreon to get a beef tea.
Use your Patreon earnings to buy yourself a beef tea. Treat yourself to some beef tea. And as always,